Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Man, today I have a good guest with me. I'm pumped. This is David Nurse. And I want to tell you real quick that this episode is episode number 50. So hit the 50 mark. And, you know, I told David, man, I want to have him as the number 50 on here. So let me tell you a little bit about him. He was a former basketball player. And everybody knows, man, I'm a wrestling guy. This is a basketball guy. But we have a ton in common. You know, he works with athletes, has a lot of mindset training with them. So he has coached NBA players, runs his own podcast, has a great new book out right now, which we're going to discuss here in a little bit, Pivot and Go. I'm reading the book currently. He's worked with over 150 NBA players. I mean, this man, he's an expert in his field, and he is an incredible motivational speaker, has spoke all around the world. So David, man, thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Chad. Thank you for that introduction. Like, sign you up as my agent right now, please.
Yeah, you bet. So, all right, man. Well, let's get ready to jump in. I also want to say that, you know, listening to your podcast and hearing you as a guest on other podcasts, you're like one of the most excited and high energy dudes, man. Like, we really need to record you and have you as like our wake up call in the morning.
Oh, man, that's too funny.
So, all right. Hey, well, let's just do this for our listeners. Tell me a little bit about like where you grew up, just your background. And I know you're a big basketball guy. So maybe let's connect in how you got started in basketball.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I grew up in the middle of nowhere, cornfields of Iowa, just with passion for basketball. And I'm not very athletic, never dunked ever, 6'2". So my parents probably should have said, you know, maybe focus on tennis or golf, but I just loved basketball. So I literally made it my life's mission to play in the NBA. And I grinded for it to be able to play college basketball. And I was got to play professionally overseas. And it sounds cool to say playing professionally overseas, but it was more like the Will Ferrell semi-pro joke of a league than it was actual basketball. And here I am, Chad, pouring in these extra hours on court, these two-a-days, these in-depth film studies, and my teammates are, you know, not even caring about the game. And I get cut from this team. So all my life, dream, mission, literally no backup plan at all, which is probably a bad idea, but no backup plan at all was taken away from me, turned upside down on its head and rubbed in the dirt. So all my dreams gone, slammed in my face. Cut from the second division team in Northern Spain. So I come back home, living on my parents' recliner chair in Kansas City and feeling bad for myself. Go through about 5 months of doing this. And my mom would always say these motivational, inspirational quotes, and usually they're, you know, in one ear, out the other ear, whatever, mom. But she said this one that stuck with me. I remember very vividly when she was doing dishes, she said, David, when one door closes, four open, an entire beachfront patio overlooking the ocean. And it just, I was hit me. I was like, what? I thought it was one door. But what she was saying is when one door closes, something far greater is about to open. So I realized that was my life pivot. It wasn't everything that I poured into playing in the NBA. Wasn't for me. All this that I learned, this high IQ basketball type detailed study, was to help others who had more God-given abilities on court athletically to be able to play in the NBA. So my pivot was not playing, but everything was for coaching. So most people will look at it like, oh, you put in these 23 years and it's all a waste. No, it prepared me for this opportunity. So now I make coaching in the NBA my mission. I'm like, all right, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do it. But I knew nobody in the NBA at the time. So I sat down that next day. I hand wrote a letter to every NBA GM. And I emailed them. I called them. And I got one call back from the GM of the Clippers at the time, Gary Sachs. And basically, it was just a normal conversation. He's like, you know, if you're ever out in LA, just look me up and we'll grab coffee. Basically, it was good luck with the rest of your life. So I booked a ticket to LA with all the money I had, and I was out there that next week. And I prepared for this meeting with Gary and just like showing him how much that this meant to me. And Gary and I hit it off, developed a great relationship. I lived with him when I moved out to LA. He was in my wedding a year and a half ago. But all of this happened because I took this chance and made this cold call, this blind call, knowing that I was going to do whatever it takes. I was going to go the extra mile to do so. So that's kind of how I got into it. And there's a lot of other things in there, as I created my own basketball camps and ordered these balls from China, custom made basketballs, had them shipped out to the Oakland seaport. I drove out there 29 hours to get them and literally spent 5 years of my life driving around the country doing camps for any seventh grade team that would do it, anybody that would have me at a YMCA, sleeping in my car in well-lit Walmart parking lots, and all of that that I poured into it of trying to become the best shooting coach possible. It led to me getting an email when I was in Australia running a camp from the Brooklyn Nets, said Brooklyn Nets shooting coach. And I thought it was spam, but the next week I am the Brooklyn Nets shooting coach and I was into the NBA. And that's how I got my foothold. It's kind of, there's a lot more that goes into it, but that's a short story of how I did it and many more pivots to come that we can get in depth on too.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And I think a lot of times as athletes, man, whenever we've dedicated our life to sport and all the things we do behind the scenes, right? So all the extra workouts that we're doing to really perfect it and to be great at it. What's so crazy is at some point your career is going to end. Maybe that's after high school, maybe it's after college, maybe it's after the pros or whatever. And so many athletes, I think their identity is wrapped up in that. So when they get done, they don't know what to do next. They don't really know maybe exactly who they are. I know, you know, whenever I finished competing in college wrestling, there is no pro wrestling, right? MMA now has become kind of like the pro leagues. But when I graduated college, that was still sort of underground. For me, I knew I wanted to be a coach, but man, that desire to compete was there. I felt lost for a while, just like literally, like I thought I knew who I was as a person. I thought I knew who was my relationship in Christ. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I've always had a carrot dangling in front of me. I wanted to be a state champion, a national champion, an All-American. And that's like, what do I strive for now? So for you moving from athlete into coach, like how was the mental transition for you? Like, was it, did your competitive drive as an athlete kind of just switch over to your, to like a new coaching drive, or what was that transition? Cause I think that's a struggle a lot of athletes have.
Yeah. And it did. I love to compete. That's the most fun thing about playing the game of basketball was competing. So I just looked at it from a different perspective, just that pivot, that slight turn of perspective of I was going to compete to become the best shooting coach that I could possibly be. So the mindset stayed the same. And it really helped developing that mindset through playing basketball for all those years, that knowing that, hey, you know what? I got to where I got by being gritty, by being tough. I wasn't given anything. I didn't have this amazing athletic ability, but I was going to outwork everybody. And I brought that same approach into coaching. I was going to do whatever it took, going that extra mile to go out there and meet Gary Sachs, or looking up the San Antonio Spurs shooting coach and emulating everything he was doing, and went out to meet him in Las Vegas and just really be able to pour everything that I had, every ounce I had, into coaching as I had into playing. And I'm a big believer on balance is BS. Now, balance, you need it in life, and, you know, spending time with different things. And there is balance that you need. But when you have a passion, when you have a mission that you're on, like, you are all in. There's no lukewarm about it. The lukewarm, you get spit out. You go all in.
Yeah. Now tell me, so a lot of people, I think, spend a lifetime wondering, what am I supposed to do? What am I here for? And you said, you know, a passion and whenever you're on a mission. How do people know, how do you think people know, like, what their passion and what their mission is, what they're called to do?
Yeah, you really got to sit down and self-reflect, and you got to pray about it. I mean, God is the one that's going to give it to you. And I know that's an easy answer to say, and it takes time. And even knowing that, like for me, like I thought, okay, my calling is playing in the NBA, but it wasn't. And then I was like, okay, it's coaching. So I made that pivot, but then it wasn't. I got, after that year, we had a great season that year where we went from 28th in 3-point shooting percentage to second. So I thought I was in for life in the NBA. New head coach came in, we were all out. So I made another pivot. Okay, I thought that was it, but it wasn't. It was speaking, it was encouraging, it was writing books. And that's what I'm doing now, currently working with NBA players individually. But who knows, there could be another pivot. I just know that I'm doing everything that I do on a daily basis for a purpose bigger than myself. It's not for my own gain. It's not for a million Instagram followers or whatever, but it's to pour into these basketball players that I'm working with these companies I speak to, with everybody listening to this podcast, that I can pour into them and show you, you have a gift. You have a light inside of you. God has given you this gift. And it's our job to figure it out. And in that same breath, it's our job to try to figure it out daily, to cultivate that, to let that light shine. And I think a lot of people get stuck on just thinking, you know, it's not coming to me. God's not speaking audibly to me. Don't just sit there. The worst thing you can do is just sit, just go, just do, just try. You're going to learn, fail. That's great. But don't just sit and hope it's going to come, because no one's going to just give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. When it comes to, you know, I think about working out, right? So if God's given you some talents and abilities, and let's say that maybe you're going to, you know, face some or compete against somebody else, and they also have talents and abilities. Well, if you haven't really honed those and trained those, you know, this other person, they're going to bypass you, right? If I want to stay healthy, I have to go and work out. That's my job. God gave me this body, but I have the ability to go work out. So yeah, I think that, I mean, really trying to perfect your gift, be great at what you do. I think that those are all things that honor God. And God, like I said, God gave you the abilities to do it, man. But we have a piece in that too, right? It's not like he just, like said, like snap my fingers and hey, you're going to be highly successful. You got things you got to do. So, yeah. All right.
Great now, point, man. Great point.
Now for you, I can see like you became a shooting coach and that's an easy transition. You've played basketball forever. You're super knowledgeable there. How did you get into sort of the mindset portion and the life optimization and really coaching people?
Yeah, just through experience. I've been doing it for a while and it had been like 7 years of just doing on-court stuff. And I would see the separator would be these guys who had this unshakable mindset. And these guys like Steve Nash, who was playing with LeBron James, these guys that were pouring into their bodies, focusing on their sleep. And I was like, you know what? If these guys are doing it, there's something to this. So over the course of the last 3-4 years, I've really, really went in depth on making myself the most knowledgeable and doing it. All these things that I teach and I preach, it's like I'm doing these as well. So figuring out, like, you know, if you're playing a sport, you can only be doing that sport at a high level capacity for about 2 hours a day. And the question is, what do you do with the other 22 hours? And all of those 22 hours, the nutrition, the sleep, the recovery, everything that prepares you to be able to perform at your highest level. So I looked at it as like, this is total optimization. On-court skills, that's fine. That's going to get you a part of the way. Total optimization is going to take you another part of the way. But the biggest piece that I found out is the mindset of how you step on that floor, how you show up every day. Are you confident in yourself? Or are you self-doubt guessing yourself one way or the other? Are you basing your identity on what other people are saying? Like, are you worried about your results and not focusing on the process? There's so much that goes into it, but at the core, it's developing this unshakable self-awareness, confidence in you. So I've, over the years, been working with players and seeing what works for them and really just testing it out on myself, testing it out on them, to where I've developed the 7 steps to unshakable confidence. So I know when I have a player, I can go back to these and I can really, really help them take a step up in their mindset. As being the ultimate athlete is so much more than just what you do on the court.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody's training hard. Everybody is basically doing a lot of the same stuff, right? So when it comes down to the highest levels, it's lifestyle versus lifestyle. It's everything that's incorporated there. Now you mentioned process. I believe in goals. I think we all should set goals, but I'm much bigger on process and systems to be able to get to our desired outcomes, right? So tell me a little bit about like your thought process when it comes to processor systems.
Yeah, well, I mean, those the systems and the process lead to the goals. So I definitely tell people to have big, crazy, out of this world dream goals. Make that your goal. And then you set up these process, these steps on the way to get there. And the hardest thing for people to do is to detach from results, because this endorphin rush, this momentum, that builds the momentum. You're feeling good about yourself, but you're going to go through a stretch where nothing's going right for you, a month, 3 months, a whole season, that's nothing's going right. But how are you going to bounce back? And detaching yourself from results and just focusing on the process. So for basketball, for example, with my players, we don't talk about points per game, field goal percentage, what everybody else is looking at as these markers. We look at where their best shots are, and we all we do is count how many times they got to their absolute best shots. We know they're going to go in. They've worked on them a million times, but it's how do you get there? And you just focus on that process and the results will come. And it's what I tell everybody, like there's no, people think there's an easy way to the top, think there's an easy way to success, but there's absolutely no straight line. And the people, when things get hard and they fall off that straight line, a lot of people will quit. But the ones who do succeed and do reach their goals are the ones that just keep on keeping on day after day, relentless consistency.
Love it, man. And I love that you said this, because a lot of times we complicate things, but I think that if you take something that seems like a complicated structure, let's say an offense in football, all right, man, you see these guys that have like these huge playbooks and they're all highlighted up. And then you get some coach that comes in who says, I'm going to create the air raid offense. And the dude has a napkin on the sideline and it's still this crazy complicated offense, but he's like literally like has like five plays written on there. He's been able to take this, what seems so complex and break it down into simple. And I say that because I love what you said. We're not worried about all these other stats everybody else is. We're going to find what is your best shot and how many times and how many ways can we get to that shot, right? So you're taking something that is probably super complex, but you're delving it down to what really matters. And I try to do that with my athletes all the time, man. That's why it really stands out to me. How did you discover that?
I mean, I discovered it through seeing how well it works. I mean, if you just focus on the results, you're going to have bad games, and then you're going to be up and down and up and down and never consistent. The biggest term of just like the overall arching thing that I think the most important term is this relentless consistency that I said, and just how do you show up every single day is going to be the determining factor if you're successful or not. And I mean, that's really how I figured it out, is guys who look at their points per game, they have 25 one game, feel great about themselves. Then they have two the next game, they feel horrible about themselves. That's not going to build any foundation. That's not going to build any consistency. So yeah, I mean, it's just, that's how I learned it and figured like you get results when you just absolutely focus on the process. And I know it's kind of cliche to say, but when you can actually really do it, because there's a huge difference to have between knowing and doing. It's a big disconnect. But when you know something and you do it and you apply it and you have these tools, because people will say, focus on the process. The heck does that mean? Give people tools of how to do that. Focusing on the process for my shooters is we're going to find our best shots and we're going to count only our best shots. That's the process. So when people throw these terms around like culture, let's have a great culture. Okay. Show me how, give me some tools. And it's the big disconnect that drives me nuts in between knowing and actually doing.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, you know, and being a parent, I think I've realized that a lot, especially with my coaching, but I might get mad at one of my children about something. And then later on, I think about it. I'm like, you know what? I just expected them to know, but I never really gave them tools. I never really helped them understand. And now I'm mad at them. And I'm like, wait a minute. I've done that with my athletes too many times, you know, expected them just to be good at something. And we never really gave them the tools and showed them exactly how to do it. So, all right, I want to move into your book a little bit, all right? Pivot and Go. And there's a specific question I want to ask about that. But first off, I'm an author too, written a book, Understand the Process. What made you want to write the book? How long did it take? Tell me about everything that went into that.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to write the book because I went through these pivots in my own life and I saw how pivoting your perspective can change your entire perspective. And I had these stories inside of me that were like really actionable steps that people can use in their life. And I was never given anything great gift. I was never top of my class, never had anything special like that. And to be able to achieve my goals and live the life that I've juiced up every day to live, I was like, I have to share this with other people. So that was kind of my basis on wanting to do this. And the process was enjoyable for me, man. I carved out an hour every day and I got on this walking treadmill and I just typed. And if it was two pages or two words, I was good with that. I was just blocking it out. I was putting that bucket in there just like a workout would be. And that process was great. It took, 6-7 months. The editing process, now that's a different story. That took a long time and it was a labor of love going back through my own writing 25 different times, reading the book again. I was blessed with a great editor that put it together really well. So it was all in all a fun process. And to see the best part of it is to see these messages that I continually get of, man, I needed this. Like, this really helped me just pivot out of my stuck situations, really helped change my life. Like, the messages that have been coming in have just been amazing. Just a true, true blessing from God to be able to have that. But knowing that, like, this is the mission I'm on, to help show people that they can live every day with true joy, true confidence in themselves, and not worry about what everybody else, what the world is saying they have to do or have to be.
Mm-hmm. I love the structure of your book, and my book is very similar. So, and whenever I wrote the book, Joshua Metcalf, Chopwood Carry Water, he's written a number of other books, but he actually had
great friend of mine.
So one of his early books is about leadership. I think it's his best book he's ever written. And I read that book, had a guy that gave it to me. I read it. The chapters are all very short. There's actionable steps at the end. And I was like, all right, a couple things. People's attention spans are not getting any longer. And I like that I can read one chapter. I can put it away later on, pick it back up, just start in the next chapter. I don't have to remember what happened in the chapter before, right? Each one is its own thing. So I thought, if I ever write a book, I think I want to structure it that way. And then lo and behold, like a year and a half later, I ended up like having an opportunity to write this book, did the same thing. So when I get your book now and I'm reading it, I love that. Each chapter is its own thing. There's action steps at the end, which I'm doing, by the way, implementing them. So I'm not real far in your book yet, but I want to ask you this because I think it is awesome. Tell me about the 18th second. And we don't want to give away a ton of your book because I'm telling you, everybody go get it.
All right, that's great one, man. It's one of my favorites. All right, we'll tease it up. So you got to get, so this is just one mindset pivot of 29 in the book. And it's based on 29 days. 28 is the generally accepted term to build a habit. 29 is to make it your lifestyle, make it your life rhythm. But the 18th second is, so I went around for about 4 years carrying a stopwatch to workouts with my NBA players. And I would just hit start when a player, I could tell that they didn't really want to go through it. It was going to be a grind. And I would time it to see how long it actually took for them to start, to just kind of get in the flow and get going and be okay and know they're going to get through it. And the number that kept coming up on average was 17 seconds. So that means we have what I call a mental dictatorship in our mind. People might be different time, but it's generally around 17 seconds when if you start something, if you just dive into it, you're going to be able to finish. Your body triggers your mind that you're going to be okay. And after that 17 seconds, that 18th second, then man, if you like, even just try it, you don't feel like working out, pick up the weight, do the first couple reps, 17 seconds, you're feeling good. You're going to be able to get through it. And it's a powerful mindset to have, to know that it only takes 18 seconds. If there's something that sucks that I don't want to do, and I do this every morning, I jump in an ice cold shower for 3 minutes and I don't look forward to it, but I know I'm going to be able to get through anything. I get through that first 17 seconds, I can finish the 3 minutes. I know that I'll be able to get through anything in my day because I have this power, this mental dictatorship power.
Yeah, I love that, man. I mean, being able to control your mind, just get started, right? Just jump in there and do it, man. And emotions are so fickle. And so we can't live off our emotions. We can't base anything off that, man. We got to just say, here's what I want to do and jump in there and do it. And this connects to so many different things, the happiness advantage and, different ways we can either create or break habits. I dig all that. Absolutely. So you are the guy to ask this. And I like to ask this in my podcast episodes, but give me, and you're going to have to narrow it down, man, because you got some really good ones, but What are your best success habits? Like what makes you every day? Like, so give us your, okay. When you wake up.
Yeah, in the morning, I do have a lot, but the best ones first and foremost is putting my wife first before everything, before anything else, putting my wife first, serving her. And the second thing is, well, right on cue with that first thing as well, is giving my morning time, my first 30 minutes of the day to God. So I'll wake up after I do that ice cold shower, make some great coffee while I'm listening to praise music. And I'll spend 30 minutes just whether it's just journaling or whether just sitting there. Sometimes literally like I'll carve out 5 minutes to just sit there and just reflect, like have God speak to me. And sometimes it's the hardest 5 minutes to get through, man. It seems so long, but I'll make sure that those first 30 minutes are given to God. And it really puts me into just a great frame of mind, a joyful, thankful, grateful mind for the rest of the day. And I'll hit a workout after that. So I'm really big on movement, and it's not just for the body, but after I hit a workout in the morning, like I am just on fire. Like I can just go and go and go. So those are the really important staples to me. And also having an evening routine where I know that I can wind down. The morning routine everybody talks about, but evening routine is just as, if not more important, where I'm setting myself up for the next day. I'm doing writing down my big three is what I call it. Three things that I know after I'm done with that morning routine the next day and my workout, I can jump right in there. Those are going to be the things I focus on, because I have so much coming at me, so much going on, all great stuff, but I got to just narrow down my focus, and these big three help me do that. And then at the evening, I assess it, see if I got them done. If I did, awesome. If I didn't, that's okay too. I'll put one on the list for tomorrow. So it's kind of my way to just know that, hey, I'm going to be solely focused on these main things. But yeah, those are the main ones. And then there's a lot of other ones. I got affirmations all over my apartment that are just subconsciously putting me in this frame of mind that just to be thankful and grateful, and the self-confidence and awareness in myself.
Very good. Yeah. And I know that, and I've listened to a couple of podcasts where you've talked about hands and the whole mm-hmm. series that you have with hands, which is so important. But I want to ask you this, faith, right? We've talked about God a little bit. You talked about giving that time to God. Give me your story, man. Like, how did you come to faith in Jesus?
Yeah. So I grew up Catholic, and I grew up just knowing who God was, but never having a real relationship with Jesus. And I was 22 years old, and it was my last year playing college basketball, and a freshman friend of mine asked me to go to this thing called Fuel, which is this get together, this hangout and low key everything. So I went with him, and literally, man, I thought the people were on drugs. Like they were so joyful, and I thought they were on drugs. So I was like, man, I got to come back. I got to see what these guys are doing, what they're taking. And it was just praising Jesus. And over time, it just weared on me. Like, I was like, okay, as much as I wanted to push it away and think that I'm just going to have God when I'm older, after I'm done having my fun and when I'm older. And it just kept coming at me, eating at me. It's like this true, genuine joy is through a love for Jesus. And that's when I gave my life to serving and putting Jesus first. And it's literally like I can't even imagine life without Jesus in my life. Like I can't even imagine it, really. It's been amazing. And it's a difficult thing for people to see, is like they think that fun has to be driven from things of the world, things that are of the world, and following Jesus and living for God is not going to be fun. But when you do have that relationship with him, it literally lights up your every day. And it has for me. And I have an amazing, supportive wife who's very centered in Christ, and our marriage is centered in Christ. And it's just, yeah, man, that's the story. And it's just, yeah, it's amazing.
Excellent. You know, and you see different statistics, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know, if a person hasn't, you know, dedicated their life to Christ before the age of 17, they're like, I mean, I didn't give my life to Christ till I was 19. I was in college. You know, you were 22, you were in college. So you never know, man. That's why it's so important what we do, and trying to live it, trying to be a light. But now I want to connect back and give me a little bit about, because, you know, part of your whole thing with the hands is being a servant, right? So give us just a teaser or a taste of that, some of the things that you talked about, wiping away the fog and serving it and all that
stuff. All right. Yeah. You want the hands. All right. I loved it. That's that's one of my great tools that I give to players, companies that I talk to. And it's, so your hands are with you at all times, and this is your tool. When you wake up every morning, the first thing you can do is look at your hands. And I do this, look at my hands, and you see all the toil, the hard work, the calluses that it has, and see everything you've been through, and understand that everything you have gotten through to this point, you have gotten through. You're going to get through the next thing as well. So that gives you a lot of confidence in knowing that you're going to get through whatever the day has to throw to you. And then at some point in your morning, you're going to walk by the mirror, brush your teeth or look at yourself, whatever it might be. And this is what I call the foggy mirror, because we all wake up with some type of self-doubt, imposter syndrome. We have 50,000 self-talk thoughts floating through our mind throughout the day. 80% of those on average are negative, because that's when we let this foggy mirror cloud up our day from the start. So you can literally stand there in front of the mirror, use your hands, make the motion, and wipe that mirror clean. So you're wiping away that self-doubt. You're living in the self-awareness, the God-given abilities and gifts that you have. And so you're going into this day with confident hands, wiping away self-doubt. Those negative thoughts are gone. Now, every room you enter for the rest of the day, you look at your hands when you enter that room and you say the word serve. Now, this is going to put your subconscious into the mindset of you're going to serve whoever's in that room. It's not about you, what you can take, what you can gain from them, but it's how can you pour into others. And to tell you that this is the biggest game changer if you can do this, because it takes a lot of pressure off of yourself, and it's much more enjoyable to know when you're serving others than you're just being that taker. So your hands are always, you can use your hands and say the word serve. Now, these hands are also encouraging hands. Now, I also tell the stat about Steve Nash, my favorite NBA player. He averaged 239 high fives a game. And he was always called the best teammate anybody ever played for, because he's always encouraging people, high fiving. And we can be that person, whether we're seeing people in person or not. You can give Zoom high fives. You can FaceTime a friend. I text message 3 people a day every morning just to check in, just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, encouraging you. And it's just, man, the response I've got from that has been life-changing alone. So you can be that person using these hands to be that encourager. So your confident hands, you're wiping away the self-doubt, your servant hands, and these hands are the encouraging hands.
Love it, man. Absolutely love it. So, and my book is called Game Changing Moves, and that is a game changer, man. I'm adding that into what I do, man. Adding that into what I teach, you know, talking to my athletes as well. So absolutely cool. Beautiful. All right. So I'm going to give you, I call this fast feet, right? As athlete, man, we got to have quick feet. So I don't care what sport you're in, but you can choose to answer all 3 of these, or you can just choose one, man, and expound upon it. But I want you to tell me about either a highlight, a hero, or a hardship in your life. Highlight, hero, or a hardship.
Highlight, hero, or hardship. Okay. A highlight has been, marrying my wife. That is the highlight of my life. And that was all because I continued to make pivots. If I was still coaching in the NBA, I would have never met her out in Brooklyn. She's out here in LA. So that was my highlight of my life. And let's say hero. I'll go with, let's take somebody, man, I got a lot of heroes. That's a good question. You know what? I'm going to go my parents, because they were so supportive of me all the time. I didn't know how much extra work that they were putting in just to provide for me and to allow me to play basketball and these opportunities. So I think parents are, if you have a good mother and father that raise you, like, that's the biggest advantage that you can have. And I had that. That was a great advantage. So that's the biggest hero or hero tandem in my life. And hardship, I've had a lot of hardships, but I mean, the hardships are, is just when I get like these doors shut in my face, when you put everything you ever had in your life and it's just rubbed up, turned upside down and rubbed in the dirt, and the coaching in the NBA, door is slammed. So those are some of the most hardest times in my life, because I put so much into it and then I get turned down and shut down. But now I've been able to understand, like, this is just God preparing you for something bigger and better to come.
Yeah. That preparation is so huge, man. I mean, David is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Right. And so you look so you look and it's like, all right, here he was. And everybody knows about David and Goliath. Well, it's not like he just like walked out there and got lucky. I mean, he had been practicing behind the scenes, throwing that rock with his sling. He was a professional at it. Right. He was incredible. And then later he gets invited into the King and gets to go in and play the lyre, like the harp, right? He gets to go in and play because they were looking for somebody who was highly skilled in that area. He had put in all the preparation and the work. So there's all these things that we prepare in our life, even if we don't know right now, like you said, they may open up doors later on, man. They may open the doors to kings or whatever it is that God has planned for our lives. So, okay, now, dude, you've got to, like, experience being around these NBA athletes. You've got to travel all these different places in the world. And some of these places, you were sleeping in your car, man, reading in your book. I mean, you know, you're sleeping in your car going from camp to camp. But what is one of the coolest and probably most unique trips that you've been on or places that you've been in the world, man? Something that just, like, right now pops into your head.
All right, so you're going to have to read the book to hear the in-depth stories, but the coolest place that I've ever been is Israel, no doubt about it. Israel, Jerusalem, coolest place I've ever been.
Okay, absolutely. So, well, yeah, I'm going to get ready.
Tons of stories in the book. I can't give them all to you, man. I just got to just tease them out a little bit, but a lot of them in the book.
That's right. So, and I'm telling you what, man, I read a lot. A couple books a month, right? Sometimes 3-4 books a month. It depends. But I can tell you right now, man, this is already jumping to the top of my list. So it, when you sit down and you start reading and all of a sudden you're through the chapter and you're like, and especially because you have action steps, I'm like, all right, I got to stop and I got to implement these. I don't want to just read them. I got to implement them. But I want to jump to the next chapter, man. I want to see like, what are we doing next? So that's how I know it's a good book. So everybody that's listening, man, pivot and go grab it. And my man, I'm going to get ready to let you off here because I know that you're busy. You got a dinner date coming up with John Gordon. So how can we reach you? How can we follow you?
Yeah. Social media, David Nurse NBA, Instagram and Twitter. Website is davidnurse.com. My podcast is the Pivot and Go podcast. That's pretty much it. I mean, you come out to LA, we can hang out here, but yeah, that's it. And Pivot and Go is anywhere books are found, Amazon, all that.
All right. And then the podcast is super uplifting. You know, you have a lot of great guests on there. So it's definitely a big part of my rotation weekly that I'm listening to on podcast. So everybody, make sure you're grabbing the book, Pivot and Go, checking out the Pivot and Go podcast. And, you know, following everything my man David Nurse has got going on with social media. And like I said, dude, you are a light. You are an inspiration. God's using you big time. And I think a big part of that is because you are just serving people and pouring into them. And we can feel it. We can hear it. So thank you so much.
Man, thank you. And the same back to you. Like I reciprocate that and following you and seeing what you're doing for so many people. It's iron sharpens iron. And we have been given a gift to share for God's kingdom. And proud of you, man. Keep doing it. Keep being you.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. All right, y'all. Well, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, make his face shine upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. See ya. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. That's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up. And this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P.